Begin the Kara Daf Masech, the Shabbos Daf Hey. We begin 8 lines from the top of the Yomid. The Gemara continues the discussion of the previous Daf regarding who the Talmud of our Mishnah is. And that is, our Mishnah said a few different cases regarding the Ani on the outside, which is Harabim, and transferring it with the Balabais, the householder, on the inside. And the question was that it's being transferred either from or to, from the hand or to the hand of the pauper and the house owner. And regarding both of them, it would be considered Akira or Hanocha. However, the Gemara's question is, how can the Tanav HaMishnah say that one is liable if the hand is not a mukam dalal dalad, which generally we say for it to be considered a transference from one rishus to another, it has to be from a mukam chashav of 4x4 tefachim, and the hand of a person is not that large. So why would a person be liable if I cure nanacha if it's not that large? So the Gemara says that it had a few different options, and it said that it's not you can't prove that they're the Tanav HaMishnah. So the Gemara has a different option. El Omer B'zeir HaMani, who's the Tanav HaMishnah that holds that one does not have to have a malkum dalal dalad, and therefore the hands of transferring would be good enough regarding the Isra Vaitzah. It's Achirim, it's the Tana that's known as others. The Tanya Achirim, Oimrim, others say, Amad bim kaime bekibler, if someone was standing in his place and then he caught the object, and that is, if someone threw an object and someone else caught it, and the one who caught it was standing in his spot and he caught it, then Chayiv, then the one who threw it is liable because he did the Akira and the Hanacha. He, so to speak, picked it up from where it was and he threw it down and it was placed down in that person's hand. And therefore he's liable because he did both halves of the Malacha of Akira and Hanacha of what's picking up and placing it down. However, Akar Mim Kaim Bekibel, but if the person who caught it, he first left his place, so to speak, he was catching, like playing catch, and he's running and he caught it. And that is, so he left the place where he was and he ran to catch it. Then Pata, then the one who threw it is exempt because the Hanacha did not come from his effort, so to speak. Rather, it would have dropped somewhere else. And the one who ran, so to speak, to catch it, he's, so to speak, forcing and through his own effort the Hanacha. And therefore, it's Shnaim Shasu when both are doing half the Malacha. And therefore, the one who threw it is going to be exempt. So now the Gemara explains this Brice of the Acher. Said, Amad bim koyim bekibul chai. We said that if the person was standing in this place, and so to speak, the guy threw it at him and he caught it, it just landed on him, so that the person who threw it is liable. Habi'in hanocha agabi mokim dalet v'leka. But it was saying that he caught it, it has to land on a place that's 4x4. As we said all along, we're assuming that when to reconsider Akira Noch has to land on a place dalet dalet. And here, with the person caught in his hand, it's not a mokam dalad dalad. Obviously, the Acherim is the same as the town of Amishnah. And now we found who is the town of Amishnah. It doesn't have to land on a place that's 4x4. So the Gemara says, no. V'dilma hanocha hu delei be'inan. Maybe it's similar to the question we had posed on the previous daf when we tried to say Rebbe Kiva is the town of Amishnah. That maybe regarding placing something down, which is the case over here when the guy caught in his hand, for hanocha, you don't need to have a mokam dalad dalad. Maybe you do need to have, when you're lifting up something, maybe that has to be from a makam adal adalad. And therefore, how do you know he's the talent of a mishnah of the Acher? And we only see regarding hanocha, regarding, so to speak, putting something down, that it does need dal adal. But maybe when you're lifting and you're starting the malacha, which is the beginning, maybe that has to be from a makam adal adalad. And moreover, the Gemara says, v'hanocha nami, dilma de poshet kanfei bekibloi. How do you know that case is talking about from the Acher, that it wasn't adal adalad? Maybe with the way he caught it was he spread out the corner of his cloak, and he caught it with his jacket, and that is a makam dalal dal. Therefore, you can't improve anything from the Acherim, not Akira, and not even Hanocha, because the Ikonami Hanocha, there was also a Hanocha, because again, it was on the makam dalal dal, it wasn't with his hands. So therefore, the town of Amishnah, it cannot be proven that it's the Acherim. So Amir Baba Masnitin Kagoin Sha'okar Mitraska, that's the way the Bach is Magia, that is as if he lifted it up from a basket, and then he placed it down on the traskel in a place that's dalad al dalad, the ikonami hanocham, that there's hanocha. In other words, in the case of our Mishnah, where it says the pauper and the householder, when they were transferring from one hand to the other, it means that each one had a basket in their hand. So therefore, when you picked it up and you put it down, it was from a place that is dalad al dalad, because it was from each one that had a basket. So the Gemara asks on Rebaba's proposition of Hoyodikutani, but it says from each one's hand, not a basket. So I said, Tani, Traskel Shabiyadi, you should read it, that it means, it doesn't mean literally the hand, it means from the basket that was in their hand. So that's how he wants to propose that our mission is not difficult, because our mission is talking about that there is a dalal adalad. Although a person's hand is not, it doesn't mean just a hand, it means there was a basket there. But then the Gemara asks, Hotenach Traskel Bashasayachar, it makes sense for the case that you want to explain, let's say for the householder who's inside his Rishasayachar, that he has a basket. And therefore, putting into his basket is considered as if it was resting Rishas HaYachad. But a basket, if let's say the pauper is outside in Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, and we're considering transferring, it's like an Isra itself from taking from the homeowner who's inside, outside to the basket that's in the pauper's hand, that it's, so to speak, resting down because it's a makam dalal al dalad because he's holding a basket. But that basket has a din of Rosh Hashanah Yochan, not Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. And therefore, why is the person liable, let's say the homeowner, for transferring from Rosh Hashanah Yochan to Rosh Hashanah Rabbah when it's in the basket of the pauper? That's not Haitzah to Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. It's considered a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, which is not the Yisrael Daraisa of Haitzah, because the basket is not the actual Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. It's its own Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So the Gemara says, from the fact that this is what he wanted to propose, Leman Dulei Kerb Yisrael Yehuda, let's say that the Tanav HaMishnah that doesn't consider the basket of the poor man the way Rabbah is trying to propose the teretz of how our Mishnah is, that doesn't hold a Kerb Yisrael Yehuda, which is that with the Tanav, like we learn the Braisa as follows. If let's say you stick a pole in Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, and on the top of that pole there was a basket. Zarek, if someone threw something from Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, and then it rested on the top of that basket, he's liable. And that is that although lower down, the pole is not wide for Tvachim, and to be considered Hanocha, we said it has to be Makam Dalal Dalad. But since on the top of the pole there is a so to speak, an area of Dalal Dalad Tvachim, because the basket is that wide, so therefore we said what's called in Halacha Gur Achas Mechitza. That means that the walls extend downward, and therefore it's considered a total Rishus HaYachid, which has Mechitzas of 10 Tvachim, and it's 4x4. And that is regarding the halacha of Shabbos. Rosh Hashanah Yochid is only if it has walls 10 tefachim high, and it's an area of 4x4 tefachim. So therefore, we have an interesting case. We have a pole that's high 10 tefachim. However, it's not dalal dalal. But then on the top, we have something that's not high. The walls are not high 10 tefachim, but the area is 4x4. There's halacha of gurach, so we view the walls of the basket as if it goes totally down, these virtual walls around the basket. So therefore, he's saying that you're going to be chai for throwing on there because we view it as if it's a mokum that has walls 10 fachim high, and that it's an area of 4x4. That's what Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda says. And therefore, the Gemara says that our Mishnah can't be like him, the Ikra Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, because if our Mishnah was like Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, Pasha Balabai says, Yodei Lachutz, when we said the case of when the homeowner extends his hand outside, and then he places it into the hand of the Ani, that we said that he's chayv because he's doing an akir and anochi, so to speak, lifting up from his Rosh Hashanah Yochid. And he's placing it into the hand of the Ani, which is in Sisra Rabim. The question is, am I chayv? Why is he liable? That we're saying it's like he did akir and anocha, but Rosh Hashanah Yochid, Rosh Hashanah Yochid kamafik. He's taking out from Rosh Hashanah Yochid to another Rosh Hashanah Yochid, not to Rosh Hashanah Rabim, because as we said, Rabbah said, the case is talking about in our Mishnah that the person's holding a traskel, a basket. And therefore, Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda holds that if, let's say, the pauper is holding a basket, we view the walls of the basket as if it's going down. So it has mechitzes that has walls that are 10 tefachim high. And therefore, it's an area 4x4. So it's its own Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And that's why if you throw on top of this pole, it's going to be considered that you're carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So therefore, how could Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda be the town of our Mishnah if the basket itself is going to be viewed as Rosh Hashanah Yachid? So obviously, that we're considering it from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah, that the town of our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. So the Gemara says, no. Afilo Tamer Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, you could say that the town of our Mishnah works together with the sheet of Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. And that is because there's a fundamental difference. Hasam Lamala Meyud, there, that case of Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda with the pole, it was talking about that it was higher than 10 tefachim. And that is higher than 10 tefachim is a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, since it was 4x4, that was the width, and it was higher than 10 tefachim. So therefore you have this halach of Gur Achis, which is extending the walls down. However, Hacha Lamata Meyud, here the pauper that's holding the basket, he's holding it under 10 tefachim. And therefore, it's not going to be considered a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, because again, like we said, for the halach of Gur Achis to work, it has to be that the basket is higher than 10 tefachim so that we could view it extending downwards. But if it's lower than 10 tefachim, even with Gur Achis, it's not going to have mechitzas of Yud, so therefore it cannot be considered Rosh Hashanah Yochid. It's not enough to be dalal dalal. If it's in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it has to have at least this walls of 10 tefachim high, and that's why Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda could be the town of our Mishnah, because our case is talking about that the pauper is holding the basket lower than 10 tefachim. And therefore, it's not a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, rather it's a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and it's considered Mokim Chashiv. It's not the question of how the hand doesn't have a dal dal, because it's talking about a basket, and therefore it's considered Mokim Chashiv, and therefore that could be the town of our Mishnah, and it could work together with Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, that it's not a problem. So the Gemara asks, Kasha Leila Rebavo. Rebavo had a problem with this teretz of Reb Abba to say that this is the case of the town of our Mishnah. Because Mikatoni Traska Shabiyadi, is that actually what we said? Does it say that the pauper and the householder that they went and transferred it to the other one's basket that was in his hand? Well, Yadi Katani, Lamaisa, it says that it was transferred from one person's hand to the other. And therefore it's very difficult to say the way you're trying to say that the Mishnah is talking about, that was talking about baskets. Elam Revo gives a different teretz without having to amend the Pasha Pshat of that it was from one hand to the other hand. It's talking about a case where he lowered his hand lower than three tvachim, and that's where he received it from the other one. And that is, since it's lower than three tvachim, we consider, which is known as the halacha of lover, we consider anything which is within three tvachim after it's in that area. So therefore, since his hand is within three tvachim of the ground, we view his hand as if it's the ground. And that's why it's not a difficulty why we consider transferring Rosh Hashanah Yachad to Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. Because since his hand is so low right there on the floor, we view it as if it's on the floor, so it's not a problem that his hand is not a dal dal, because the floor is definitely dal dal. And that's why it's going to be considered an Akira and Hanocha. But then the Gemara asks, Va'oimid Ketani. But our Mishnah says that Ha'oni Oimid Bachutz, that the pauper was standing outside. But the way we're saying it now is that obviously he was sitting, because if his hand is on the bottom, obviously he's sitting. If you're standing, your hand is not within three tvachim of the ground. So how can we say that it's talking about his hand is so low down if it says that he was standing? So they're going to give three different terutzim to say how you could have a case of standing and that the hand is within three tvachim of the ground. One is b'sheicher. Either it could be talking about that he was bent over. So you could be standing and bent over and have your hand three tvachim within the ground. V'ibay same, if you want, you could give another teretz. It's talking about beguma, that the person is in a pit. And that is, if he's standing in the pit and now his hand, he's standing up, is right there by the floor, because so to speak, most of his body is in the pit. V'ibay sema, third teretz, he can say it's bananas, talking about a midget. And that is, a midget, his hand is very easily within three tvachim of the ground. And that's why it's not a challenge to say that you're standing, yet your hand is within three tvachim. And that's why it works to say that it was transferring from one hand to the other, and it's considered that it was on the place of dalad dalad, because the ground is a mokum of dalad dalad. It's bigger than 4x4 tvachim. However, the next Amar comes and doesn't like this pshat either. Amar Rava. Ichvul Tana Lashem Inikol Tahani. The Tana repeats himself and he says he goes to such an extent just to teach all these different halachas. In other words, he toils to say this cases of transferring from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Rabbah and reverse with the Ani and the Balabais, only to tell us these cases, because he's obviously saying that it's talking about that he's standing. And we said that standing, how is it going to be transferring from one domain to another if it's considered the hand and the hand is not dal dalad, that you shouldn't be having an akira nanocha? So you answer talking about that it's within three tvachim from the ground. So we said, how could you have standing and within three tvachim? So you gave three different answers. Either that he's bent over, or that he's in a pit, or he's a midget. Those are not so common. Why would he pick those type of cases? Why didn't he just say something very simple to say that it's, let's say it was with his cloak, which is a makam of dal al dal? Why you have to have a case of standing and these weird contractive cases of saying that, these contrived cases of saying that he was bent over or midget or in a pit? So El Amar Rava, Rava gives a teretz, and he says, Yadoi shel adam chashuva loy kedal al dal. A person's hand is considered by him as if it's a place in dal al dal. And that is, it's not difficult, you're right. We have to have a makam dal dal. That's the only way a place is considered a makam chashuv, for it to be considered lifting up from there, or that it's placed down over there. But a hand is different. And that is, a hand, although generally a place is only chashuv if it could contain something that's dal dal, a hand could contain something larger than the hand itself, and it's utilitarian in that sense. And that's why a person's hand is considered by him a makam dal dal, and that's why it's considered the Israelite saw from one hand to the other. Similarly, Rav in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, who are going to have many different halachas from Rav in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, and this Amar and the following, he also says the same idea that a person's hand is considered like a place of dal al dal, and that's why you're liable from the kira and anocha from a hand and to a hand. Now the Gemara continues with another statement from Amar Bavan, Amar Beloy, Amar Yechanan. Zarek chayfetz v'nach b'tech yodei shel chaver chayv. Someone threw an object and then it landed in another person's hand, then he's liable for the iser of transferring something from one domain to another domain. So the Gemara asks, "My kamash malon, what is the chiddush that Rabbi Avin was saying in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that yodei shel adam chashuv lekedal adal, that a person's hand is considered as if it's a place of dal adal, and therefore it's going to be considered a hanacha, that it's being placed in an area so that you'll have a kira hanacha to be chayv on etzah." Rabbi Yechanan already said this one time, And that is, as we just mentioned, that's how they resolved the town of our Mishnah, to say that Yuchayef Hoitzav with the Ani and the Balabai is because a person's hand is considered Dalad Dalad. So why do we need another case of it was when someone threw it and landed in someone's hand? So the Gemara answers, Ma'adetam, what would you have thought? That's only when the person himself is actively considering his hand as significant. And that is the one who's doing the malacha, he is having the kavana to put it in his friend's hand, as the case of our Mishnah, where someone was transporting and he put it with his own kavana, with his intent, into that person's hand. So he was machshavit. He said, I want this to be a makam chashav, because that's where he's placing it down. But where he did not have that intent to, so to speak, recognize and consider significant that person's hand, which is the case that Rabbi Yochanan is saying, that where it landed by itself in his friend's hand, which when he was throwing it, he didn't have in mind that it should land there. It just happened to land there. Then I would say that the hand is not considered a makam chashav. You have to be machshav. You have to make it into that, so to speak, that chashav. Is kamash malan? No, that the hand is always considered a makam chashav of dalad dalad, whether or not you had that intent or not, and therefore one would be liable. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan had to say that other case to tell us that chiddush. Now the Gemara goes back to a statement we mentioned before. If someone was standing in one place, and that is, he caught something that someone else had thrown just by staying where he was, so then the one who threw it is liable. However, if the person who caught it, he had been running somewhere to catch it, then the one who threw it is exempt because he, the one who threw it, did not do the hanacha. He didn't place it down. Rather, someone else intercepted it, so to speak, and he placed it down in his hand. Therefore, he's going to be potter because you have to do that kira nanocha to be chayiv min atar. So the Gemara says, Tanam hocher, learn similarly in the Braisa. Achayim oimim, others say, Amad bimkayim v'kibel chayiv. If you're standing in your place and the other person threw it at you, so then the one that threw it is liable. Akam bimkayim v'kibel potter. However, if you had to run to catch it, then the one that threw it is potter because then we don't consider the hanoch as his, and therefore he's not chayiv v'itzo, which requires both akira and hanoch. So on this halacha, the Gemara says that Boi Reb Yechanan posed the following question. If someone threw an object, then the one who threw it started running from the place where he was, and then he went and ran and he caught it. What is the halacha? So the Gemara asked, what was his question? In other words, what was the doubt? Why should a person be potter and be exempt? But he did the akira, he threw it, and he did the anocha, he caught it. So why should he be potter if he did both halves of the malacha? So I'm of Adbar Ahava. The question was, Shnei koiches ba'odim echad kmi boile. Regarding when you have two different forces in one man, in one person, that was the question. And that is, Shnei koiches ba'odim echad ka'odim echad ami b'chayiv. Do we consider two different forces in a person? Although they're two different forces, but we consider it as one force because it's coming from one person. And that is, since he did akira and he did anocha, we consider him chayiv. Like dimakash shnei b'nei adam dami potter, maybe we consider it as two different people, and therefore the person is potter. That is, we consider it like Shnayim Sha'asu, when two people do the malacha, we say they're potter because each one did half. And that is, since he didn't allow the, so to speak, the object that was catapulted to land where it was going to land from his original akira, rather he ran after it and he held it back, he intercepted it, so that original akira that he did was without a hanacha because, so to speak, something else intercepted it. However, it just happens to have been him. So the question is, it's really two different forces that are doing that kira and anocha. Maybe to be chai for the malacha of Shabbos, you have to have this one action that's doing that kira and anocha. Here where there's, so to speak, these two different forces, although coming from the same source, that would be considered as disparate maisim, and therefore the person would be part. There would be like two different people doing it. Takeaway, that is left unresolved. It's not clear if the person is going to be chayiv, that it's as if he did both, or that two parts did one, and therefore he's going to be potter. The Gemara continues with another statement by Rabbi Avin in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Hichnis yod l'tei chatzar chaveri. If someone extended his hand into his friend's yard, v'kibol me gshamim v'hoitzi chayiv, and then he received the rainwater, and then he, so to speak, he put his hand out of that domain into another domain, then he's liable. So the Gemara asks, maskblor b'zeira, mali hitinu chaveroi, mali hitinu shemayim. What is the difference if his friend loaded him up, or if heaven loaded him up? And that is, the Tanya of our Mishnah says that a person is potter, is exempt, if his friend loaded him up, as it says. It says that if, let's say, the poor man stuck his hand into the private domain, so then the householder put something in his hand, and then he went on, he brought and took his hand out and put it down in Shazram, then they're both potter, And the reason is because the Balabais did the Akira. He lifted it up and put it into the Ani's hand. And then the Ani did the Hanacha by placing it down in Rosh Hashanah. So that was a case where his friend loaded him up. And therefore, when he goes and puts it down, he didn't do Akira. He only did the Hanacha. So what's the difference when heaven, so to speak, loads him up? And that is, if he sticks out his hand into the other person's domain, his friend's domain, and then it rains, and then he catches the rain in his hand, it's, so to speak, heaven's loading him up, just like his friend loaded him up. They did the Akira. He's only doing the Hanacha. So why is he chayiv? Ihu lo yavad Akira. He didn't do that Akira, the Gemara asks. That's Reb Zeir's question under Be'echana. So the Gemara says, lo yitem akibo, don't say that it means the case of that he received the rainwater, which is that he stretched out his hand and that it just fell in, that he didn't do anything, he was totally passive. Ela kolat, rather, the case of Be'echana was that he collected the rainwater. And that is, now the Gemara thinks it's talking about a case where he's, so to speak, swatting the raindrops that are in the ear, and he's swatting into his other hand, which is catching the rainwater like this. So therefore, that's considered he's doing the Akira, and then when he'll put it down, there'll be the Hanach, and that's why he's Chayiv. If that's the case, the Gemara asks, "Be'inon Akira Malgabim Mokam Dala Balaka." So correct. It's not that heaven's loading him up. He's doing the Akira. But there is no Akira at all, because Akira, we said, has to be from and to a place that's Dala Dala, that's 4x4. And here it's not, because here it's being done in the ear. There's no place where the rain droplets are resting that he's swatting and doing the Akira. So why are you chayv? There's no Akira being done over here. It's only Hanocha. So the Gemara says, Amr b'chiyah b'reid rav huna, k'goyin shekolet me'agabai koysel. It's talking about a case when he collected it from the wall that's there by his friend's yard. So there's a wall inside his yard. Now he's swatting it off the wall. Since the wall is a place that's Dalal Dalad, so therefore it's going to be considered an Akira and then a Hanocha. So the Gemara asks, but even from the wall, it's not resting on the wall. It's so to speak, flowing down the wall. So therefore it's never resting at this, although the wall is a Dalal Dalad and the raindrops hitting it. But since it never rested, so you can't consider, so to speak, making a new Akira, a lifting, if it never stopped from the original Akira that, so to speak, heaven started. So therefore, where again do you see this person doing an Akira to be mechayivim for the malacha of Haitzah from his friend's yard to the other domain that he's taking it to? So the Gemara answers, because I'm a Rava. Because the Meshubba, like Rava says somewhere else, there's talking about a sloping wall. Hachanami, because the Meshubba, here we're also talking about a sloping wall, and that is, it's considered like it rested on that wall. And therefore, although it might be, you know, flowing down, but it's resting on that wall. It's not totally vertical. It's rather, it's a little bit horizontal. And that's why a person will be liable and will be considered Akira. And then when he puts it down, the Hanacha. So the Gemara inquires now, where was this Halacha of Rabbah that we're applying to over here? So Ahadatan was like that, which was said on that Mishnah. Now we continue on to Amud Beis. If someone was reading from a Sefer, which was in those times, their svarim, all their books, all their svarim were made like a Megillah, like a scroll. And let's say someone was reading a sefer on alaskufa, on the threshold. V'niskalgal ha-sefer miyadin. Then the sefer rolled out of his hand. And that is, he's holding one end, but the other hand rolled out. Halacha is goyloi etzlei. He's allowed to roll it back to where he is. And the last parak in Erevin says that this is talking about a case of in the Skufas Carmelis. It was the threshold of a Carmelis, which is, for example, if it's 3 tvachim high and it's 4x4 wide. So that has a halacha of a Carmelis, which is somewhere between the Rosh Hashanah and the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. It's a rabbinic, so to speak, invention of being considered a domain. And then the Rosh Hashanah is in front of that threshold. So the halacha is, if the Megillah, if the safe that he's holding, the scroll totally fell out of his hand, and then he would bring it back, he would, so to speak, carry from Rosh Hashanah back to the threshold where he was reading it, it would never come. It wouldn't, even that wouldn't be a Chiyuv Chatzis, because that wouldn't be Issa Deraisa. A Carmelis is only Drabban. So therefore, in such a case where at least he's holding one end of it, and there's no real Akira, because it's, so to speak, he's not lifting it up because half of it is still in his hand. So there, even there, we didn't make even the Issa Drabban. We didn't decree anything, because even if the whole thing fell out of his hand, the most is going to be Issa Drabban. And now when he is holding one hand, one end of it where it's not even, so to speak, an Akira, we weren't geyser at all. So therefore, you could roll it back. However, if the person was reading the sefer on the top of a roof, which that's Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and then, so to speak, the scroll opened up, and so to speak, he's holding one end, but then the other end rolls down out of his hand, and that is, it's rolling down the building. So it depends. If it didn't reach yet Yud Tvachim, the other end of the Megillah didn't reach within 10 Tvachim of the Rosh Hashanah, which if it's 10 tefachim below, it's considered the ear space of Rosh Hashanah. So here it didn't reach that area then. So then goyle etzli, so then you could roll it back to you because it's not even in the brishus, it's not even in that airspace of brishus rab. Mishagili yutvachim, but if it already reached the airspace of yutvachim, so then the halacha is that then you're not allowed to roll it back. And that is because did the rabbanu war geyser, they made an isid rabbanu ashvus, because of, even though now he's holding one side of it, but we're concerned maybe in such a case where, let's say, it totally dropped out of his hand, that there he can't bring it because there is a chiv d'oraisa, because now it dropped in the Rishus HaRabim. If it's within the airspace of ten tefachim of the Rishus HaRabim, it has halacha of Rishus HaRabim. And if it totally drops out, he's going to be doing an akir nanocha from Rishus HaRabim to the Rishus HaYachim, which is the roof where he's at. So therefore, even though he's holding it on one side, which not it's not really the Isra because there's no akira, because it's still in his hand, the other end of it, still, we made an Isid Rabbanan. We're concerned of the case where it totally drops out of his hand that he's going to come to bring it back also, which then he'll be chayav Isid Raisa. Whereas the first case we spoke about, which was the skufa, this like step that's in front of the house, or the threshold, which is the area of a carmelist, which is between 3 and 10 tefachim and 4 by 4 wide. There we said that the person could roll it back because even if it would totally drop out of his hand, it would only be at most the Isid Rabbanan. And therefore, we weren't gezer in such a case when he's holding at least half of it. So what should this person do that was on the roof and half, and let's say the other end of it rolled out of his hand, so what should he do now? He can't roll it back. So halacha is, hayfchei al ksav, he should turn it over onto the written side. And that is because we have the written side facing the wall and the empty, the not written side on facing the outside, so that it shouldn't be such a bazillion, it shouldn't be disgraceful for the sefer that's just being left there for the rest of the Shabbos. So that was the halacha that we said. So v'havinba, we asked on this, why do we say that you turn it over onto the written side and that we don't let you bring it back? But it never rested. So why can't you roll it back to where you are? It's not, there should be no issue in bringing it back. It didn't rest. And so to speak, it's only going to be considered, it shouldn't even be considered a gezerah to say that maybe you might, when it totally falls out, because even if it totally fell out, if it didn't rest, it's not considered bringing it from one rishus to another rishus. So Rava said that case was talking about by a slanted wall that has a slope. That is, it's like the house that the wall is slant, is wider on the bottom and it's narrow on the top. So where it rested on that slope, that although it rolls, that's considered hanochem, and therefore that would be considered an akira, and therefore we would gezer in such type of case. So that is the comparison that we say that our case is also talking about the same case when he said with the rain that he was swatting it from a slope wall. And therefore, that is considered hanocha for the person to be considered now a new akira, that he's taking it from that wall to the other domain that he's taking it to. That would be considered an akira hanocha, and that's where Rabbi Yochanan said that he's chayv. So now the Gemara asks on this comparison with saying that Rav's case of a slanty wall regarding with the sefer that fell out of his hand on Shabbos to the case of the raindrops in the case of Rabbi Yochanan. And that is, Eimadami Rav b'sefer d'aved d'naich. When did Rav say this halacha that it would consider as if it's, so to speak, already resting? That's talking about a sefer where it's normal for it to be resting on the wall. It stays there. It becomes stationary. So even though it's rolling, but it could stay there. But ma'ayim mi avid d'naichi is what is such a thing that its nature is that it will rest? It's not in the place that it's resting. Rather, water or liquid only goes in something that has a receptacle. If it's a slope or whatever it is, it's going to roll right down. So therefore, how can we compare Rav's svara that a slanty wall we consider as if it's resting? That's something that's a solid object, like a sefer. But water, it's not. So therefore, it's still difficult. The halacha of Rabbi Yochanan, when we said the person stretches his hand out to his friend's yard and then he catches water and then brings it out, what type of case is that? How are we ever going to have an akira from a makam dal al dalad? Because even the slanty wall is not considered that it rested over there because the water just keeps on dripping. And therefore, that shouldn't be considered a hanacha that it was actually resting at one point, that now you, so to speak, lifted it up and made a new halachic akira. So Elam Rava, rather Rava says, it's talking about a different type of case. It's as if you collected, it's talking about a case when you collected the raindrops from the top of a hole. That is, in other words, we have a hole and now you took out the thing. So therefore, that's a regular place where it rested. So you ask, guma pshitas, obviously if it was on top of a hole and so to speak, it filled it up. So why shouldn't it be considered that it was on a mokum dala dala that you did a nakir from a place where it rested? So the Gemara says, ma'u detema, I would have thought then maybe that would not be considered that it was resting at one point, that now your akira should be an akira, because mayim agabi mayim lav hanachahu. Because water that's on top of water, in other words, we had a pit, a well full of water, now the raindrops fell on that, and now you're scooping it up. That is, water that's resting on water, since it's always moving, that's not considered that it was ever resting. It wasn't ever in a stationary position, kamash malan, that is considered the normal resting place of how water rests. So therefore, your uprooting it, you're picking it up, lifting up that water from where it's resting on the rest of the water, is considered an akira to be chayev for your haitzah from that domain to another domain. And the Gemara says, "V'az the Rava l'tame," the Rava goes according to his reasoning elsewhere, where he says the same concept that that is considered it's resting, and therefore it's considered, so to speak, stationary. Now, when you pick it up, it's a new akira, it's a new lifting. Tama Rava, as Rava says, "Mayim agabi mayim hayna hanochasin," the water on top of water. In other words, when waters, when liquids are mixed together, that is considered that it's resting. So now, if someone picks it up, it's an akira. Egez agabi mayim lav hayna hanochasin. However, when you have a nut on top of water, that's not considered it's resting because again, the water, it flows on the water, and therefore it's not considered stationary. And therefore, if a person would pick it up, it wouldn't be considered an akira. If someone picked up that nut, it wouldn't be considered akira to be chayiv on the malach of Shabbos. So now, related to this topic, the Gemara says, "Boy, Rav asked the following question: Egois bekli. Let's say you have a nut in a vessel. The kli tzafak abimayim, and then the vessel is floating on water. So the question is, Buster egois as lein v'anoich. Do we go? Do we follow the nut regarding the halacha if it's considered akira nanocha and the nut is resting because the vessel is stationary in relation to the nut?" Or maybe we go and we follow the vessel because that's the area that it's from. And that is, since the vessel is not stationary because it's moving on the water, so therefore we view the nut as not stationary. So therefore someone who picks up the nut is not going to be chayv on the Isra of Haitzah because he didn't do an Akira because it never was resting because the vessel, which is, so to speak, its container, is moving. Take away, the question is left unresolved. We don't know if you go buster the nut or you go buster the vessel that's holding it to view it as stationary or not, to be considered a new akira or not. Similarly, the Gemara brings shemesh itself agabe yain, oil that's floating on top of wine, and that is then if someone lifts up the oil and he takes that out to Rishus HaRabim, the same thing would apply even if it was, so to speak, on with water regarding the halacha of Shabbos, but regarding the halacha of Truma, there it has to be talking about the case of wine, as the Gemara is going to bring right now. So if you have oil that's floating on wine, machlekes Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri Rabban, it's a machlekes between Rabbi Yechon and ben Nuri and the Rabban. It's not as we learned in the Mishnah. Shemen, if there's oil of Truma, should safag abayin that's floating on the wine of Truma. V'nugat tful yoyim b'shemen, and then a tful yoyim, who is someone that he was ritually impure, and then he immersed himself in the mikveh, but he still has a tumma until Harav Shemesh, until it gets dark at night. So Tful Yom has halacha that he invalidates Truma min HaTorah, as the Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Ayin Aleph says. So this Tful Yom goes and he touches the oil again that's on top of the wine. So the halacha is Lo Yipasel El Hashem Bavad, he only invalidated the oil and not the wine, and that is since they're not connected. So although the shemen is pasel, but it's not tummy, it only is invalidated, it doesn't have the transference of such a high level of being tummy. So therefore, it doesn't invalidate the wine. And regarding Shabbos also, it would be considered as something else that is floating on the water, and therefore it was never resting, and therefore someone, so to speak, picked up the oil on Shabbos and carried it to another domain, he would not be chayv, because the oil wasn't stationary, it was floating, so to speak, on the wine, which we view as something else. Whereas the case of water, when we said it's all one big water, that would be considered stationary. And rather, this case is like the nut on the water, which is not stationary. That is the opinion of the Chacham. Both of them we see as connected, and therefore the oil and the wine, both of them would be considered tameh, would be considered pasul, and therefore regarding the halachas of Shabbos, similarly it would also be considered that it would be considered that it was settled, and therefore it would be considered an akira. Another statement from Omer Abavin, Omer Beloy, Omer B'yechidon. If someone was laden with food and with drink, and that is, the mashmoyis of this statement is that he didn't load it up for that purpose. Rather, he was already laden in Rishus HaYachid to go from one corner to another corner. However, once he started walking, he changed his mind and he said, "I'm going to go outside." And he kept on going in and out between the different domains the entire day. As Rabbi Yechon said, "Benichnas v'yetzik kolayim kulay," he went in and out the whole entire day. He's not liable at all for the isra of Yitzhak, even though he's going in and out of Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah the whole day, until he finally stands still for one moment. And then, after he stands still, then he goes ahead and he does so. Then he moves again to go outside. Then he would be chayiv, because when he stands still, so then we view it as if the object that he's holding, the food and drink, as if that also has, that's a hanoch, as if it stopped. So therefore, now when he gets up and he lifts up his feet again with the intent to go outside, then he'd be liable. But if he don't stop, so then there's no akira, because the original akira that he did, that he started moving, That was not with the intention to go outside. That was, he was busy going from one corner to another inside Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And the Torah does not make a person liable only if he does what's known as a maleches machshavas. And we learned that out from the Mishkan, that a person has to have intent to do a malacha. But here, where the person did not have that intent, because when he started doing that kira, he didn't plan on going outside. So therefore, it's not a maleches machshavas. So therefore, although he's going in and out the whole day, he never did once the Issa of Eitzah. So therefore, he has to first stop. Now that he stopped, now then he starts going again with intent to go out, that will be considered the kira, and then when he stops over there, will be considered the hanocha. So the Gemara says, Amar Abayis, Abaye qualifies this halacha. V'hu she'omed lafish. This is only if the person stopped to rest. And that is, that resting, that when he stopped was to rest, and then afterwards his new akira, when he will pick up his feet again, that will be considered an akira. But if, as the Gemara is going to explain, if he was omid lekatef, if he stopped just to fix his bundle, then that would not be considered that he ever stopped in the first place to make now a new nakira. As the Gemara says, Mimai, where did Abaye get this halacha from? That if you stopped, only if you stopped to rest, but if you stopped to fix your bundle, so to speak, that wouldn't be considered as if you ever even stopped. And therefore, if you go ahead back outside again, you still are not going to be chayav for itzah. But the Amamar, as the Master said, that is Rabbah, who was the Rebbe of Abaye, that he said the following halacha, Toich dalad amas, in the middle of the four amas, that is, if someone is transporting something, four amas in the shusarab, and then within the four amas, he stands still. So then if he stops lofush to rest, and then he continues and he completes the four amas, which is the next two amas, or if, let's say, he puts it down, so then, amad lofush, then Rabbah had said, if a person stood still to rest, then he's putter, then he's going to be exempt from when he puts it down at the end of four amas, although he, so to speak, he transported four amas, he's potter, because he never transported it with one akira, because he only did two amas at a time, and since he stopped to rest, that's considered an akira and anocha, and that wasn't four amas, and now when he does the rest of the next two, that's also a new akira and a new anocha. However, lekateif, but if he's doing it to adjust his load, so in other words, he's trying to walk four amas in the shusarabim, but in middle of going to four amas, halfway through, he adjusts his load, then he is going to be liable. And that's because when he completes it and he puts it down over there, either because he stops and we're for resting, he's chayiv, because when he stopped the middle, that wasn't considered an amida, because that was just to fix his bundle. That's not considered, in other words, every person stops as he's walking. Every step takes time. So therefore, when he stopped to adjust his load, that's not considered stopping, and therefore it was still the original akira, and then when he does the four amas, it's going to be a hanocha after four amas, and therefore you're going to be liable. However, it's the same thing would be in reverse. When he went chutzal dalar amas, if let's say someone walked in one shot, he went beyond the four amas, and that is, he carried it, he transported four complete amas. However, after when he finally transported four amas, then he stopped outside of the four amas. So then it would depend if he's standing lofush or he's standing lekatef. That is amud lofush chayiv. If he stopped still for to rest, then he's going to be liable, because that is considered a stop. That's considered hanocha. Lekatev potter, but if he stopped just to fix his bundle, then he's exempt, because he never yet made hanocha. That's not considered standing still. And therefore, that was what Abaye was saying, that this halacha that was saying regarding that if something is considered stopped, is only if you stop to rest. However, this person that went back and forth the whole day and then he stopped and he did it just to fix his bundle, he never really stopped. It's not considered halachic hanocha. It's considered, so to speak, one complete movement. And therefore, it's not a new akira that he'll be chayiv on to have, even though he's doing it with the intent. And therefore, he's still going to be pata, even if he continues coming and going the whole entire day. Now the Gemara goes back to the ikar din that Rabbi Yochanan said. My kamashbalan, what is Rabbi Yochanan telling us? That shalahoysai kira mishori shoyin lakach, that because since the original lifting up that the person started walking with this when he was laden with this food and drink was not with the intent to go out, rather it was to come and go, and therefore we don't consider that a view that as halachic malachas machshabes, a malacha with intent to do the malacha veitzah, and therefore although ultimately ends up going out, it wasn't an akira that would be viewed as a akira to be over in the Israitzah. Ha'am Rabbi Yechon Chadis, Rabbi Yechon already told us this one time. Someone was moving objects from one corner to another corner in his house. And then he changed his mind in the middle and he went out with them. Potter, he's exempt. Because his original akir, when he lifted up the object, was not with intent to go out. It was to move it to that corner. But in the middle, he's saying, you know what? Forget about it. I'm taking it outside. He said that you're potter because it wasn't melech machsheva. So why does he have to say the halacha twice if he already said this somewhere else? So the Gemara answer is correct. Amiro ninu, that these are two different Amiroam, Rabbi Loi and Rabbi Ami, That is ma amar lo b'hai lishna, or ma amar lo b'hai lishna. That one of these amarim repeated the halacha in the name of Rabbi Yochanan with this type of wording, and one said over in the other type of wording. However, Rabbi Yochanan only said the halacha one time. It's just that his students, these two different amarim, said it over in his name in two different scenarios. However, they're both saying the same halacha, which is it's only if you said it, if you started off the akira with the intent to do the malacha. But if you didn't, then it's not going to be considered malachas machsheves, and therefore it won't be viewed as a halachic akira, and therefore one would not be chayev on the isra of itzah.